God is present. Isn't that a good statement? Presence of God. What good words. Presence of God. In your house, God is present. When you wake up in the morning, God is present. When you're sleeping, God is present. In the meeting, God is present. And when you're driving your car, God is present. When it comes to prayer, and today was a day of prayer, if you knew that or didn't, it was a day of prayer. And sometimes we think about time, prayer, and time, you know. Concentration and time. And sometimes we say, I don't have time. And we all know that that's part of our challenge as believers, to have prayer and to be able to sit quietly in God's presence or kneel or just go for a walk. And in our imagination, exercise our imagination in a big way and think of who God is. And if my imagination can help me, actually, it's not a question of time. It's really a question of my imagination, knowing that God is with me in the car. He is with me when I don't feel good. He is with me when I have bad news. He is with me when I have a lot of distractions that are going on in my life. In my imagination, I can believe that God is with me in all of these things. And therefore, we have communion. Communion with God. I recognize He is present with me, and I can be still and recognize that He is here. These are words of communion. We said recently from a piece that I read that words can be put in two categories. Communication words, like knowledge and communication. I'll meet you at 7 o'clock. What's the price of the bacon? When did this happen? In 1934 or 1933? We have communication, the iPhone, the internet, the knowledge. We have a lot of words, maybe more words than we've ever had, and definitely more knowledge. So there's one pile of words, communication words, and then there are communion words. Communion words are special words of communion. We have them with God when we meditate in love and commune with God. We have words from His word. When you go to the hospital to visit somebody sick and you walk into the room and you sit, and what I think is that they are too sick and too tired to hear communication words, but they would like to hear communion words. So many times we don't know what to say. We sit there, and depends how sick they are. If they are dying people, if they are dying, it is even more important that the words are communion words. because these are the words that touch the heart. Words that are from love. Children get a lot of communication words, but there are times when you put the child on your lap and you listen to them and talk with them and love them and you say something to them, maybe it'll hit to speak to their heart and they'll never forget it. Communion words. Prayer is not about communication words. I've been in those prayer meetings where we have lists of missionaries and lists of needs and somebody is sick and dying, and all those prayers are not small prayers, and they are important prayers and valuable prayers. But the communication, I have to be honest with you, it is predictable. So-and-so is sick, somebody is not saved, you know, somebody is somehow in need, and it's very predictable. And to be honest, the prayer meeting could be boring because communication words are many. They are everywhere. But when Jesus was here, he and the Father had communion. And when Jesus spoke, it was from the Father's heart. And it was in Luke 4:32. We have never heard a man speak like this. Not like the scribes and Pharisees. Now listen carefully. We are Christians in a very active church, and we learn a lot, and we have a lot of knowledge, and we could talk all day. We could talk all day, but it may not minister to people, and it may not minister to you, the speaker, because one thing about the anointing and the words of God is that they quicken us. They are life. John 6:63. You are not coming to a meeting on a Wednesday night just to get knowledge. You would like to hear something from the Holy Spirit, and I do too. This is why in our history, and we remember Dr. Stevens saying it in different ways, that he would go alone because he needed to get a message, where he couldn't be around all the chatter, where he needed prayer, where sometimes, rarely, he would sit here and say, I don't have a message. Pray for me. And I love this kind of sacredness about our lives. And I don't mean it in any way of spiritual pride or anything like that, or we are any different than anybody else. On the contrary, we are like everyone else. And we labor for something different. We labor for, in prayer, for the reality of God in our ministry and in our lives. So let's read it. Turn to Exodus 32. We'll use this as our text. We'll just give the message tonight right away. Then we'll do our other things and all of it sacred, beautiful, short list. I have a list so long the message could last a long time. I'm making the effort. That will not happen, okay? Look at chapter 32, verse 1. When the people saw, well, first of all, let's all stand for a minute and just turn to your neighbor and refresh them with words of communion. Okay, Hey, let's give a shout out to a couple of people, shall we? How about AJ over here? AJ does the flowers. He does the flowers. Where are they? Where are the flowers? AJ, where's the flowers? Okay, let's see. Many people we could do shout out. John Clark, don't we love John Clark? Always. Yes. This new brother behind John with the orange t-shirt. What? I don't know your name.
Logan.
Give a shout out. Logan. Logan Airport right there. Logan. Okay. Thank you, Logan. He's faithful. Wednesday nights. Praise the Lord. Okay. We need a Spanish translator. If anybody can go run over there and do that, that's right over there. Charles Hadley's here. Charles. Jack. Daniel. Wow. Awesome. Good to see you. Wow. Awesome. Okay. Did you understand what I said, the difference between communication and communion, right? Okay. All right. So that's good. Okay. Amen. Father, bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the beginning of the Bible, Tim, wow. The beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, one of the ideas that they would become as gods. Do you remember that? You shall be as gods. Verse 5, chapter 3. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You shall be as gods. Point number one. I have it in my nature to be a God. I want to be. Let's explain that. I want to be center. I want to be in charge. I want to have influence. I was at a football game with my son when he was young. I mean, he was playing, and there was something that happened. You know, the lineman, they dropped the pole for the yardage, and I was there as a parent. I just helped a little bit, and somebody said to me, "You always have to be in charge, don't you?" And it was like, wow, maybe I do. Maybe I do. Maybe I have to run to fix something. Maybe I have to be the leader. Maybe I have to make the decision. Maybe I have to take my hands and do something, okay? I am an idolater. An idolater is somebody who has God, but God is in their hands. They can move God from here to there. I am an idolater. Worshiping God is fine. As long as I'm in charge of that. When I'm in charge, when I have the control, when I make the decision, when I with my mouth can control a situation, I want to be a God. Okay? This is in Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come out of the mount, he was the leader. God appointed a leader, and somehow he was out of the picture. They gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him." You know, in the absence of God, we make gods. We want to be a God. When we are a God, we are in charge of the other gods. We can move the gods around. We can manage our life and so on. This is our tendency. Now, to keep the message short, I want to compare it to a man dying. He's in the hospital, and he's dying. He has a few hours to live. And his breathing is hard. Okay, you get the idea. What does he have? He's not a god. He cannot move his arms. He cannot speak. He cannot control anything. He's very weak and coming down to. And in every moment, there's a message. And the message is really from God. And the message is, I am God. You are not God. I am God. Trust me. Dying people should trust God, but they may not. But the Bible is actually saying that we die daily. That we, in our mentality, are this way, not trying to be God, but instead we are what should I do? I have nowhere to go. God, help me. God, fill me with your spirit. God, I surrender. I trust you. You are God. Help me. This is a great lesson because we are so strong. We are so smart. We are so organized and we are so capable. And yes, sometimes we are so religious that we have this whole thing, our vocabulary, our action, our behaviors. But I would like you to think about it this way. Prayer is a total, I cannot, it's a dependency on the living God. And when God, the living God, not you and me and our stuff, but God is present. Moses is not here, so we will play our games. And they made their gods, and they made the golden calf, and they danced and played. And so do we. We are strong, we dance, we play. And don't misunderstand me. When God, the real living God, fills you and leads you, you also dance and play. But it's different. You have this amazing spirit of rejoicing, this amazing sense of holiness and satisfaction, this filling of the spirit, this way of living and thinking in communion with God. Verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. This is easy to do. This is so easy. We have maybe what could be called consumer Christianity. I'm like going to Walmart and I'm shopping for what I want. So I go to the Christian church or churches and I find, like in Walmart, a consumer mentality. What can you give me? I want that. Give me this. And I can pick and choose. But you don't want that. Because I don't want God to be something small like what I want. I want God to be God and reveal to me who he is. Okay? We'll skip from this chapter 32 to chapter 33. And you see the real thing. You may know the story of 32. If you haven't, don't know it, you can read it tonight. How they made the golden calf and what happened. But this is the way it happens. Even in the church, we make a golden calf. And Moses is not there. Another man of God is there. His name is Aaron. But somehow he caves. He doesn't stay true. He caves. And oftentimes I think about how much I need God so I don't cave. I don't need the communication words. I need the communion words. Because these will edify, build me up, lead us in the Holy Spirit and say, I don't want idolatry. I would like a living God to be in my life. Deal with me, Lord, by your sword, by your grace. And look at how Moses prayed here in chapter 33. There's certain key words. One of them is verse 13. If I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way. That's the second word. That I may know thee. If I have found grace, show me your way, that I might know thee. Wow. Knowing him. Okay. That's what Moses wanted for Israel. But they were missing it with their idolatry. But that's what we are looking for in our lives when we are together. Sometimes it's real discipline not to tell somebody everything you know. You know, sometimes it's hard to be quiet. It's hard maybe not to give your opinion. Nobody asks your opinion, so you don't give it. Sometimes it's hard to be searching in our Christian life for not just simply knowledge of a way, but I want to know God. I would like to know God personally in our hearts. And so Moses said, I can't go with these people. It's too difficult. And God said in verse, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This verse came to me out of the blue one night when I was on the foreign mission field, and it seemed like I was under a lot of distress. I had a lot of personal issues that I had to deal with. I had trouble inside and trouble outside. I had challenges with my family. I had challenges with the church. I had challenges with myself. My ego is a huge problem in my calling. You and I have a calling, but we also have an ego. And when the ego is in charge, there's a lot of talking and a lot of activity and a lot of energy and a lot of tiredness and no rest. The ego gives me no rest, but surrender and worship. I'll show you just simply, have you ever gone into your house in the quiet and just knelt down in the dark and just surrendered and just said in your heart to God, help me, lead me, fill me? Not even that sounds like maybe cliches, but we don't mean it like that. It's like, oh God, God, you have brought me here. You have been in all of this. It's all yours. I cast all my care on you. I am still before you. Yeah, what that person has said, it doesn't matter to me. I'm in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. What that person is thinking and what they are talking about and the gossipers over there and the attackers and anything going on in this situation, this is not my business. I am not God. I am not a God. I don't want to be a God. I die, and I trust you, worship you, hear from you, love you, worship you. Now the imagination is released to think about God and think about how amazing he is, how many gifts we have, how much we have, how able he is, what he is doing. If you put me in the corner, it's okay, because I'm not God. I'm a dying man trusting in God. And he will lead me. His rod and staff will comfort me. And though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any. He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies, anoints our head with oil and our cup. Our cup runs over. Wow. Moses knew this. Moses was like totally in another world from these people. These people are wanting to be like gods, and it's hard. We should go back to Egypt. We should get rid of Moses. We should make a golden calf. We should have food every morning the way we want it. We haven't had flesh in a long time. And what about those people? And our children are going to die. And many other things that they were busy with. But Moses is in the secret place of the Most High. We could say he is in a world of prayer, of quietness. Have you ever gone to prayer with a whole bunch of communication? And you give God your, these are like in the Psalms. There's basically laments in the Psalms and praises in the Psalms. Usually sorrow in the Psalms and then praise in the Psalms. Those two categories. There's sorrow and broken hearts and then praise to God. But have you ever gone to God with all of our communication about our situation and then the Psalm somehow seems to switch to a quiet confidence and a praise to God? Like when you go to the hospital to minister to somebody, you don't have any words. You wait on God and just say, Lord, could I say something about Jesus to build them up? Sometimes I don't have anything, so I just say, may I read to you Psalm 23, may I read to you John 11, may I read to you out of the scriptures, what portion do you want me to read? And they are dead serious. They want to hear words from God. Even our neighbors, I believe that about our neighbors, that we are living in our neighborhoods. And I believe that there's a lot of communication, but they're also living amongst us, and they're wondering, does anybody have anything to say that is so kind, intimate, personal, loving, interesting? Could anybody tell me a story about a woman and a man and a dog and a cliff and a city and a robbery and a deliverance and a good heroic effort? Could anybody tell me something that is going to move my heart and speak to me in out of communion and out of love and out of care? And the answer is, if you and I have a prayer, a life of prayer and meditation, and we're hearing from the Lord, then we're going to be able to speak from the Lord's heart. Maybe it'll be serious. Maybe it'll be challenging. Maybe it would be a rebuke. Maybe an exhortation. Maybe it would be just sharp. Maybe it would be extremely good and very edifying. Maybe it would be filled with animation, like Moses hit the rock with his staff, because he was moved by the rebellion and the blindness of these people. But he wouldn't give up on them. Okay, lastly, it says, verse 15, he said, if your presence goes not with me, carry us not up. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Could I just say one thing about gossip? A lot of information, a lot of talking, and people are attracted to it like flies. What did he say? What happened? What did she say? Do you care about that? Do you care about it? Is that important to you? Are you addicted to it? Do you gravitate to it? I would like to say, without thinking a lot about it, but I would say it's like a form of me wanting to be a God. I want to be a God. But when you can say, if it's not edifying, I don't care about it. If it's not true, it's not edifying. If it's not holy, how about Holy Spirit grieved? Holy Spirit quenched? If it feeds the Holy Spirit moving, and the Spirit is moving and saving souls, and the Holy Spirit is moving in prayer, and the Holy Spirit is moving in loving people, and the Holy Spirit is moving in the homeless outreach, and the Holy Spirit is moving in the mission field. And we had a good talk today with one of our missionaries, and just realizing how important it is to be connected with words of communion and to care about people in our hearts as we do. But how important it is. So Moses said in verse 17, the Lord said, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. How could it be better than that? That God Almighty knows you by name. Yeah. And he said, I beseech thee, show me your glory. So here comes the biggest prayer in the Bible. Moses got all this good stuff. Grace, the way, called by his, or known by name. He knows God's name and everything. Now he's going to ante it up. One more big one. He goes, if this is true, all of this that you are saying, if this is true, show me your glory. This happens in prayer. I believe when we are seeking God and we find him, we find the glory of God. We find the ways of God. This is why all of us is a team. We are a team. All of us is a team. We have a great year ahead of us at Bible College, and we have these people that have come for Bible College, and we're all a team. And we're all like looking for the glory of God. Show us your glory. We are a team. We are doing something. We are edified so that we can bring words in the common places of life. We can bring our communion to the door, to somebody's door, and listen to them, and meet a neighbor, and somehow they can sense that you listen to them and you care about them. And you haven't shared the gospel yet because they're your neighbor. And you have communion. And then you are listening to them and caring about them. And then you are connecting with them and you are seeing something happen, perhaps, that you can say, that's the glory of God. That's God. God. last little point here. Don't you want to see God in little things? I want to see God in getting up in the morning. Little things. I want to see God in the sandwich I eat. I want to see God in the bird in the tree. I want to see God in my brother, my sister. I want to see God in a simple, fervent prayer in holiness. And Jesus answering us. Wow. He answers us. And people say, how'd that happen? And you say, I'm in your heart, I really work at this. I really do. I really work at this. If you left me to myself, I am God. I am a God. I am in charge. If you leave me to myself, I gravitate to being saying what I say, listening to who I want, going where I want to go, do what I want to do, and having the attitude that I have. If I want to be God, I want to be as a God. I want my hands to move and my life to live. I want to do it that way. But it's kind of boring. There's little imagination in it. It's very narrow. We're very afraid of people. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of people. And life is very dull and boring. Read Ecclesiastes. Life is filled with vanity. It's a plague. But if you really want to live, and you really want some fire, and some Holy Spirit movement in your heart, and stop being God. You're not a consumer buying the Christianity that you want. You take up the cross and you die and you say with nothing, help me, fill me, let me not use my hands to control my life. Would you lead me and you use my hands and you guide my feet. And you give me words, and you put me on fire, and you fill me with your spirit, and you say no to me, and you say no to me. Remember when Moses said, I want to ask the Lord, can I enter the promised land? And the Lord said, don't ask me this again. In the book of Deuteronomy, he said, don't bring it up again. Don't ask me. You're not going in, and don't ask me again. I love that little piece. Because God is his friend, but he's a friend that'll tell you the truth and not give you what you want. He'll give you what you really need. He's for you, and he's on your side, and he's leading you. And we are learning to live with something deeper in our heart than just some mechanical, programmed, stamping out cookies. Just stamping out cookies. And if you notice in the ministry, by God's grace, every one of these pastors and the ladies that serve and follow God, we're all different. There's no stamping out. You have to find it on your own. You have to get it right on your own. You have to find Jesus in your own. And there'll be a lot of communication, but it's not going to work. People have knowledge everywhere. What they need is the Holy Spirit. And that communion and those words are what we labor for. Now, long before you get into the hospital room to counsel or talk to anyone, long before you're in a tragic situation, long before you're in a crisis, it's day by day, little by little, in an attitude of faith with this book, being read and reread, meditated on, thought about. And look at, those words come off the page. And 1 year later, those words come off the page. And they become words of life and communion. Okay. Amen. Father, we thank you. Father, we are learning. And sometimes, just one more thing. Amen for that prayer. But listen, one more thing. This is what happens in church life. Listen to me carefully. People go to a church and they just say, I don't have any connection. I'm in the church. Everybody's talking about baby carriages and bottles and cars and cauliflower. And nobody's talking. I don't have any connection. And I would say to you, and I say to myself and have through the decades, the church is not the problem. I'm the problem. I need the words of communion. Who am I ministering to? Maybe if I sat down with a guy that's talking about cauliflower and had fellowship with him, I would be able to disciple him to be like me. Because I have words of communion. If I get words of communion from God and I'm sitting in the church and I'm looking for the opportunity to minister to body members that may be alone as they sit here. They are lonely as they sit in this room. And then the conversation after is only with this group of friends and that group of friends and that group of friends. And then the person walks out, they say, I don't belong here because I don't believe it's like that. I'm just telling the principle that it can happen anywhere to anybody, that they are starving for words. I may not have them, but you might have them. We need you to have them. I may not have them, but you have them, and you may give them to me and to others. So don't be a critic of the church. Be a minister of the church. Don't say, this is lacking, so I'm out of here. Or that place is better than this place. Wherever God puts you, God is present with you. Not to be a God, but to be a servant of the living God. And Jesus came into this world, and so you can come into this world and be a minister of life and love and communion. Okay, amen. Let's have another prayer. Father, thank you for the thoughts and this listening congregation. Our prayer is that this will speak to us. We need your word all the time. We need messages. We need fresh thoughts. We need a revival in our hearts. We need the filling of your spirit. It'd be tragic that people could be in this church all their life and still not get it. Still not get it. It cannot happen to anyone here. It cannot happen. But you find it, please. If you seek him, you will find him. But knock it off. Stop being God and let him be your God and walk with him and fear him and trust him. And learn from him little by little in Jesus' name. And then anyone not a believer tonight, you're not a believer in a way, that's all right. Just believe in Jesus. He'll make you a believer. In a way, you don't have much to bring to the table. Just come as you are, and that's enough. Come as you are, and he saves you by his grace, and he'll lead you in this new life. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and show you. Say to Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Help me. Save me. Forgive me. I am a sinner. I need you. I need you. In Jesus' name, amen.